Welcome to the Wide World of Punting, episode 5, where we're going to talk about everything and anything in the world of punting. I'm Jacob Wynn, sadly here on my own. As you guys probably heard last week in an emotional episode 4, Alex has moved on. In fact, he's been poached by the Dark Side. He's working for GVC, which owns Ladbrokes and Neds. And look, I don't want to erase Alex. I wear the tripod shirt with the logo with Alex's face, with pride, but I do have a pledge to you guys that I want to keep the legacy of the pod going and growing. I want to keep giving you guys what you want, and I've got a massive show today. Basically, the show is going to be 2 in-depth interviews with 2 completely different guests, and of course, I'll give you my Wide World bet of the week at the end of the pod. Now, we did suffer the first loss for that one on the weekend. Sadly, we've now got 1 win, 1 partial win, and a loss. The loss was the Wallabies, minus 4.5 points, even though it closes 6 or 6.5. They had a 15-all draw against Argentina. They could not score a try. It was all penalty goals. And I do not want to be the guy who comes in every week making excuses when we lose, but I felt comfortable that I picked the right side in that game. Just unfortunately, we didn't get it done, but I've got a very juicy one to share with you guys this week to get back on the horse. My first guest is Justin Horro, who is a former NRL player, played back row for Manly, including the grand final team 2013 and the Parramatta Eels, played over 200 first grade games, including playing in the UK. You might know him as The Scope. He's got his own podcast, or the skipper of the Scope Punters Club Facebook group. You might know him off YKTR podcast. Had an awesome chat with him about his career, about his love for the punt, setting up his podcast, his group, and also NRL betting and NFL betting from a former pro's perspective, so we'll get to that soon. And then my second interview is with Tristan Merlihan, who is the director of Top Sport. And as I said last week, we've secured sponsorship to make sure I can bring you this show every week for the next 3 months. And Top Sport is the sponsor. So I'm going to chat to Tristan, dive into a lot of the aspects of being a bookmaker, running a bookmaker, how they've set it up. And I try and get real insights for you guys. My goal, as always, is to make this a show that you guys want to get around and that you learn from and gain insights from. And it's a really interesting chat. And that will be the second half of this pod. You know, years ago, before we even started the pod, I listened to an American podcast called Behind the Bets, where they had a bookmaker, Bob Scucci, on every week. And I thought to myself, how cool would it be to interview an Aussie bookmaker and answer, you know, some of the questions about things I've always wondered about how bookies operate. Now we have that chance. I'm calling that segment Behind Bookie Lines. But first, let's jump in with Justin Horro. I think you guys are really going to enjoy this chat. And when I woke up this morning, I actually saw the most embarrassing article I've ever seen on Daily Mail, and he features in it. And they're having a go at Sandor Earl, seen in a photo wearing Cam Munster's State of Origin Man of the Series medal and saying he was doing it to impress girls. I'll pop that up on the screen now. You can have a look. So I started there by asking The Scope how he enjoyed his time in Byron Bay celebrating with the Queensland boys and what he made of that, a beat up of a story.
Yeah, well, I got let off a little bit. To be fair, I'm glad I wasn't wearing the medal at the time. I was wearing it more than Sandor, but yeah, it must have been a slow news day, mate. There wasn't much going on. I think, obviously, because we're with the Prez, Cam Munster, he's attracting a lot of media attention at the moment. And, you know, the boys aren't playing up, which is good. It's a positive that, you know, if they're looking to a couple of old retired players, that means the boys aren't playing up. Everyone's doing the right thing in the NRL. So, yeah, just took it as a bit of a giggle on a slow news day, mate.
And the funniest part of it is Sandor Earl, yeah. I mean, a schnack of a human being, peak physical condition, his tattoos. I don't think he needs to put a medal around his neck to get attention to impress girls somehow. That's just the inkling I get. I want to talk to you about the Prez because Cam Munster, he's my favourite player, actually, and you've got a bit of a bromance with him. And you even have him on your pod occasionally, which is like having royalty because I think he's the hottest commodity in the NRL. So what's he like to get around?
I'll take it right back with We started this group called the Card Gang. We all sort of started collecting basketball cards at the start of the year. And a few of us were in there, and a lot of us, like, really didn't even know each other. It's just basically through Ice was putting out that he was collecting cards, and then a few of the other boys thought they'd get in on the hobby. And there's just a mixture of, like, you know, all different sorts of players, retired and not, what, even a few All Blacks boys, Aaron Smith and TJ in there. And Money put out a tip in Toowoomba, just out of the blue. It was like, basically it's about like collecting cards, but Money put in a tip out of the blue for horses, and it got up. And me and Money, the only ones that got on it, because I was like, fuck, no one, I've never, ever before in my life seen someone put up a tip that's 80 to 1.
In Toowoomba, of all places.
In Toowoomba on a Sunday, we're sitting on the couch, we're pretty hungover. I'd done my ass on the Saturday as well. So, yeah, it come through, and then I started carrying on. Like, me and Money really, like, didn't really message or talk much before this. And then I started calling him the Prez for some reason. And then he was going back and forth asking me if I got on it. So then me and him just broke away in a little private chat, and then we just started giving each other some tips over the next couple of weeks. We went on a fucking pretty good run. Like, I reckon I would have wanted close to about 20 grand off his tips. Like,
does he get inside mail because he is the Prez, or does he handicap the races himself, or what?
Yeah, no. I think he gets given mail just because he's Cam Munster. Like, yeah, send him tips.
Yeah,
he passes it on. I think his family, his old man, loves a punt as well. So, he was delivering me mail there for a little bit, and yeah, we had a good period, but we've also had a few bad periods since then. But the bromance has kicked on. We've become pretty good mates from it, and then we always talked about when the season was done, we're going to go have a beer together, and what better opportunity straight after. You know, him winning straight after winning the grand final and winning the Wally Lewis medal.
And then you've got your podcast, which is called The Scope. You started that last year. Have you started that since you retired from playing footy? Can you talk about setting it up and how you found podcasting?
Yeah, so what happened was I come home and I did a podcast with Ice. I'd known Ice for years as well.
And Ice runs YKTR. Most people should know that. Yeah,
I was running YKTR. So when I come back, from overseas, I hadn't seen the new office. I'd been away for 4 years while the boys had been blowing up. So I'd seen how good they'd been going. I asked Ice if I could come in and have a look at the office. He said, let's do a podcast. After we were done, we had a chat off air, off the podcast about, you know, he was trying to get YKTR Sports started. He knew how much I loved like all sports, like NBA, NFL, whenever. You know, he gets into NBA, whenever the NBA season's on, he'll message me or we'll send each other little clips. So that's how that all sort of just formulated. He goes, I want to be the point of difference over here where we're not only just doing rugby league stuff, where we're doing NFL, NBA. I love watching golf. I pretty much love watching all sports, AFL. I love union. So sort of just, he goes, come on and do a podcast for us. And I was a bit skeptical at the start. I just, you know, I didn't think it was going to go well. I'd never done, you know, any media training or even thought about doing podcasts before, but it seems to be going right. We're a year on now and things are starting to grow well. So I'm glad he, you know, sort of pushed me towards it.
No, you're a natural, man. I really enjoy your interviews, and you chat with footy players and get their origins. And I love listening to all them, the work you do, YKTR, like Kempe at Bloke. Like, I find as a fan, like, you get to know the story and the progression, you know, of all the players that we just see running around the paddock for 80 minutes. And of course, you're also doing your footy companions on YKTR, where you sit down with current and former players. And that gives great insight, you know, from a player's perspective that you do alongside the match. How have you found doing the companions?
Yeah, really good. The one thing I've found doing the companions is the boys are so much more relaxed. Even though sometimes they come across well and the boys have done a lot of media, even before you get in there, the boys are still quite nervous. But when we do a companion, we sit down, we get on the piss, we start just telling stories as we're going. We try to talk about the games as much as we can, but I don't know if you've listened to a few of them. A lot of them, we end up drifting off and just telling stories. So,
like, for example, Origin 2, you had KP and Connor Watson in there, and the game, like, kind of drifted away. So you guys are just, like, you know, telling stories and prodding Callum Ponga about his, you know, about his love life and stuff. Yeah. And it's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah, it's good. So sometimes it's hard when the game loses that edge. Like, if the game starts getting blown out, it's because it goes for 2 hours. So
yeah,
it's hard to sort of keep it going for that long. But if you've got a couple of dudes like Kalen and Connor that come in and can just chat for days, it makes it a lot easier.
And it's great to get to know those guys more in, like, a candid sense, not a, you know, structured interview sense. But because you guys do heaps of stuff with former players, and I love getting the insights, as I said, and it helped me learn, understand the game better. But I always wonder what you guys kind of think when you are always seeing outside, you know, opinions, criticism, experts, opinions from people in the broader media that are not former players who never played the game.
I don't mind it as long as they're, you know, sort of fair. I think, you know, there are a few guys that are coming through I think social media is the right platform for it too, where the best thing about doing what we're doing on YKTR Sports is we don't have to answer to anyone. So we sort of have our opinion, like, you know, I'm talking about NFL and NBA, but, like, you know, I've never played them at an elite level. So I like to, as long as the guys say that they're just giving their opinions, they don't get too much on their high horse. I think most guys do a pretty good job. There's obviously a few lemons out there, few bad eggs, but
let's get back to punting. We're a punting podcast, so obviously you talk a lot about the punt, and I want to get to the SPC, but can you just talk yourself, have you always been a punter? Like, were you punting back when you were a pro athlete? I'm guessing not on your own sport, but you know, have you always been punting on other sports?
I pretty much started when I was a bit younger. I used to, some of my favorite days were playing footy on a Saturday, and then going back to my uncle's house with my dad and watching them have a punt. Would get a feed together. Dad would let me put, you know, a dollar each way on a horse every now and again. And that's how it all started. So basically got into horse racing. I've always been into, like, NFL betting and NBA. That's how I sort of really got into my sports betting and understanding. Obviously, with NRL, we were never allowed to bet on it until this year. I've bet on AFL before. I love betting on golf. The way the punters club come up was, I had a really good year about 3 years ago when I was living in England. I was living by myself, had a lot of time to myself. For those that don't know, the games start at 7 p.m. over there. So I was watching, for those 2 years while I was over there by myself, and I had a lot of spare time on my hands, I was watching every Sunday night, I was watching a lot of NFL.
Beautiful timing. Prime time.
So the way the punters club started is, the boys could vouch for me, like Daly Cherry Evans, Jimmy Bura, Hainsey. We're all in a fantasy group together. And in, I think, the 16-17 season or 17-18 season, I think I only got 1 week wrong where I made up this thing. I called it Scope Specials. And I do my best bet of the week every week. And because I was watching so much of it, I out of the 16-17 weeks, I only missed 1 week where I didn't give my – I would only bet on one thing. So it would only be – you know, all of them were either at the start or if it was a coin flip. Like, if it was, you know, the max I'd go was about $2.30 or whatever. And I had a really good year. So then the ISIS said, well, fucking do that for us. And since then, I've probably haven't been putting in as much effort. Been back, it's more of a fun page. I don't take it too seriously. I sort of try to let everyone know as much as I can that it's, you know, these are the bets. These are why I'm doing it. Like, I'm even putting that horse up today, Munster, purely for the fact that it's Munster.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the horse race. I love a good omen bet, things like that. And we have a bit of fun with it. So as long as everyone knows that and doesn't take it too seriously, we're probably not like you guys, where you put in a lot of good work. I've been seeing you've been putting some stuff on our page, which I appreciate. You know, it looks like you put in your work. So, just letting everyone know. I think that's a big part, like when they join our group, that, you know, we don't consider ourselves experts. I think next year I probably might take it a little bit more serious for footy. Like, what? Because I'm going to be really ripping into the rugby league content next year. And like I said, we're going to try identify a few players and highlight a few players that we think are going to progress next year and whatnot. So I think next year I might try to do the same sort of thing where I'll just give Scope Special. I might give my one best one. But at the moment, it's all a bit of fun, mate, and it's growing nicely. So
no, I massively respect that. I mean, no one has all the answers, but if you're giving a tip and you're just saying, these are my reasons for liking it, it gives people that little bit of more insight or information to consider when they make their own bet. You're not saying, like, it's gonna, you know, the result's gonna happen. And it's the same for us. Yeah, we put in the work and we try and condense it and say, these are the key reasons why I think this tip represents value. But everyone needs to understand it's punting. But your group's gone gangbusters, and I love, yeah, it's not just the bets in there, but people do catch fire and give out plenty of jam. But it's like the banter, the community, and all the chat, all the slang. Like, I would never speak that way myself, but, like, listening to you guys and stuff, like, I feel cooler, like, just kind of following it. So I really enjoy it. But with the NRL punting, so how have you gone? Because you said you killed at NFL. Yep. But how did you go this year with punting on NRL, being a former player?
Yeah, so I did it right early on. I got a couple of bets on pretty early on. What I was doing is I was just doing sort of two or three leg multis for the companion. And I hit a couple, like, I hit like maybe 2 out of 3 or 2 out of 4 to start the season. There was one, I had a real bad beat. I don't know if you remember the South Penrith game. I had.
Yeah, is it where South scored a try with 11 men?
Yeah, that fucked me. So that would have maybe made it 3 out of 4 to start my little run. But like I said, like I was sort of just like
dabbling or?
Yeah, it was more like just, I was betting on mates really. So
yeah.
In the para game, the one that I got, I think we had against Penrith this time, I had para 13 plus and I had Gutho anytime just because I used to play with Gutho. I like Gutho. It was those sort of vibes. It wasn't much like science put into it or study. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It was more just having a bit of fun. Whereas, like I said, next year I might put a little bit more effort into it. Maybe take a few of your tips from you guys. If you're willing to share your tips, we'll share it on our page as well. But yeah, I think next year I might have a proper crack at it.
Well, we might have to even put our powers together because, like, you know, I find personally one of the major edges that you can get is kind of figuring out when a team is highly motivated for a matchup. For example, they're off an embarrassing loss. It's a revenge matchup. They need to win to keep their season alive. So am I right? From your perspective, you've played 200 first grade games. Like, is it true that teams are, you know, more motivated and that means you're more focused that week in your preparation and you're more desperate in performances, sometimes more than others?
Yeah, well, like 100%. Like I can even meet the boys, so because we live in an area in Cronulla where, and I hope this isn't match. It's not match fixing, but you can see the boys, and you can see they're just down in the dumps. Like without even saying anything about footy, you can see obviously it's been weighing on him. We're in an area in Cronulla now where we bump into. We've got the Dragons boys, Sharks boys. There's even a few like Bulldogs boys around, Roosters boys. So we might bump into them down in the cafe and you can see they're in a bad way. And 100%, mate, all that stuff matters. I know from playing myself, getting a read on people, how, like, you have a couple of losses, you start losing that confidence in yourself. You can see without it, like I said, without having conversations about, fuck, we're going to lose this week, you can see that they're fucking probably not up to it. And you can just read it on their face, that those sorts of things. So, but there are little things about, like you say, during games, I think there are some real bad losses, like, I put a line through Parramatta with about fucking 3 rounds to go after they got pumped by, was it Rabbitohs?
Yeah, 38-0 by Rabbitohs.
Like, if you'll get, I know that at the time they were still a top 4 team, but you can't have losses like that going into, I think, you know, having my experience going into finals time, if I was to have a loss like that with 2 or 3 weeks out from the finals, I said to everyone on the podcast as much as I can, I don't know if you got bets on Parramatta, you're thinking about betting on Parramatta, but don't do it. I don't like that energy going there. Feeling the confidence, and without meeting any of the Penrith boys, just seeing the way that they were on social media, how happy they were, how much they were getting along. I look for little things like that. So next year I might try focus on a few of those things, see if I can pick up on mannerisms of the boys and whatnot, and hopefully provide some jam for the SBC.
Well, I know, I give you credit. You were definitely talking up Penrith all year and the Storm as well. And it is that you're looking for that energy, that vibe. And I look for the same thing. Now, I don't get to hang out with the players, but I see it on the field when they push someone into touch and, you know, like 13 of them are getting around each other. Like, that's what you're talking about. And even I listen to podcasts like yours, and you can often tell players, like, when they get asked about how their team's going that year, you can almost tell when players are quite quietly confident. Yep. Or when they're a little bit more, I guess, cagey, or, you know, like they play it down a little bit. I try and read into that, and I think you can find a little bit of an edge. Yep. So I could chat more NRL punting with you all day, but I know you got to go. Let's completely change pace. And talk about NFL, mate, because I know you follow closely. Sorry to bring up your beloved Packers had a tough L a couple of days ago. Are they still a chance of winning the NFC? It's reasonably open, but if you had to pick someone coming out of the NFC to make the Super Bowl, who would you say?
Look, I've said in the group a number of times, we're in like the same fantasy group that I mentioned before. We've got, you know, 14 guys, pretty much diehard NFL fans, and I feel like I've always had a good feel for futures in the NFL, whether it be MVPs. I've been telling everyone in the SBC as well, Kansas City Chiefs and Patty Mahomes. I know it looks obvious now, but I said it at the start of the year when Kansas City was $7 and Patty Mahomes was $4 for the MVP. I've been pushing that like the whole year. I still think it's going to take a pretty good team to beat the Chiefs. I think Patty's probably this game away from against the Bucks this week from securing the MVP. If they can put up a good effort against Tom Brady and the Bucks in a prime time game, I think that goes a long way. And then with regards to the NFC, I said to the boys, mate, I can't really answer your question because I've got no idea who's going to win the NFC. So, you know, one week, you know, a couple of weeks ago, you probably would have thought the Bucs were looking pretty good. Then the Saints knock them off and then they get done by the Rams yesterday. I loved San Francisco at the start of the year, but they've just been ravaged by injuries. I think they're if everyone was fit, I still think they're the class team of the NFC. But once they lost their, I think it was Nicky Bosa and Eric Armstead early on in the season, that pretty much put a line through them. Kittle's been out as well. So if I was to throw a dart at the NFC...
Because it is wide open, eh? Honestly, you can pick a hole in every team. Like, the Saints are probably the favourites. But yep. Drew Brees, who knows when he's going to come back, even though Hill played well yesterday, like, can teams figure him out? So it is wide open. So I'm curious to see who you would throw a dart at.
Because I think it's so wide open, I wouldn't mind throwing a dart at the Cardinals.
I knew you were going to say Arizona. I knew you'd be a Kyler Murray fan. I mean, who isn't? He's electric.
I think, you know, if they can, obviously they had a tight loss against the Seahawks, but I think it's really going to come down. I think the bye is really, obviously, really crucial, having that extra week off. And then matchups are going to be so crucial. Like, I think, you know, Bucks can, you know, I think they've got obviously, they've got the number on the Packers and a few other teams and might go good against the Seahawks. But if they come up against the Rams and probably Kyler Murray and the Cardinals, it's not a good matchup. So, I mean, I'd be looking for value in the NFC. And if you can get the Cards at around, you know, 10s to 15s to win the NFC, I think that's pretty good value. And then, on the AFC side, I can't see anyone but the Chiefs or the Steelers winning the AFC. I think it's going to be between them two. I think I still love the Chiefs, even though they've got the one loss. I think Pittsburgh have had a really soft schedule. So I think they might get found out. But if they get that bye, that's a massive advantage as well.
Actually, yeah, Pittsburgh's schedule doesn't get any harder. Chiefs does. So because they've got no losses, it's most likely Chiefs going to have to beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh to make the Super Bowl. But I agree. I think they can. I also tipped the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl last year and again this year. Preseason, they were as high as $8.50, which I just thought, you know, it's silly. When they returned 20 of 22 starters to this team and Pat Mahomes in his third year, and he's been as good as he was in his MVP year. I think just because he doesn't have to take as many risks, he's got less interceptions and a few like less big plays because he's not slinging it. But you did call it because everyone said after like 3 weeks, oh, this is Russell Wilson's MVP year and he was a short favorite. But you were still saying, hang on, Patty Mahomes is like throwing 25 TDs and one pick. Yeah. You know, don't sleep on this kid.
Keep an eye on him. And I think the big thing when I looked at that as well, I looked at the next three games. That was a big part of it. And it's come through now. So I look, these are some of those ones where I get to brag. So not often do I get the opportunity to bag in the group because I've put up a few duds. But I always thought they were going to be tough matchups for them the next 3 weeks, the Seahawks, and they lost two out of those three games. Mm-hmm. Russell had a couple of 0-for touchdown games and threw a couple of picks. So it ended up swinging the other way, which is good. And hopefully a few people got on the value there at $4. But getting $8.50, that was a really good bet.
Because they're just such a fun team to ride. And Monday was a good example, another comeback win, and make it look so easy. I'll let you go. But you did mention a couple of the All Blacks boys you hang out with. You've even hung out with a couple while they're over here. I just want to know their vibe. Like, they've lost two in a row. Are they going to do a number on Argentina this weekend?
We'll put it this way. We were supposed to hang out with the boys last week. That got canned. We were going to do a bit of content with them. They had a bit of a leadership group meeting. Obviously, All Blacks very rarely lose back-to-back. So even without reading between the lines, I dare say that they're going to be pumped to make sure they don't lose three. Yeah, we're supposed to catch up and do some content with the boys, but the timing wasn't obviously right to be doing stuff with them after the two losses. So I dare say they're going to be pretty focused, and I might even have a little bet on the All Blacks myself this week.
Oh, mate, I'll have a good bet for you. I'll tip you off, but it'll be at the end of this podcast as well. But I appreciate your time so much, and I'm sure people got a lot out of that, your insights across rugby league and NFL and beginnings of your epic punting group and your podcast, and I implore everyone to get around it. So thanks for making the time, mate. Keep getting after it. Shout out to you and the Degens and the SPC. Keep up great work. Love to do this again, mate. Cheers.
Yeah, cheers, brother. Thanks for having me.
Hope you guys enjoyed that chat. I was bloody excited. That was the first ever former NRL player I've ever actually got to chat with on the tripod, and I really enjoyed that. And get around the scope on social media. I'll put up some of the different places where you can follow him that we discussed in our chat. Now let's move on completely change of gears here. But as I've said, we've got a new sponsor for the show so that I can bring this to you every week, and it is Top Sport. And I'm being open, they're sponsoring the pod. In fact, there is a benefit to me for the number of people that would sign up to Top Sport using the link in the description of this video, audio, and a promo code TRYPOD, T-R-Y-P-O-D. But it's totally up to you. It's just a heads up that they're a very legitimate bookie that I really truly believe is an asset for punters, and I will be using them to look for plays like I do with the other big bookies moving forward. Now, if I endorse a feature that they have or a specific market, I'm only ever doing that if I genuinely think you guys want to know, if it's something that I believe is value that I would bet myself, just like we'd share with any other bookie. I never want you to think that I'm being disingenuous. It really is a win-win, and I'm excited to be able to partner with them because I think it is a bookie that you guys will want to get around, but that's up to you. And Tristan, certainly in this chat, is going to spruik Top Sport and is going to tell you why he believes it's worth joining, but that's not what this chat's going to be every week. I really want to... My loyalty is not to Top Sport, and I really don't care about, you know, making short-term income to keep the pod afloat. I really still believe that the longevity of the pod is if I can keep growing number of listeners, number of viewers every week, then I can survive, because I always know I'll have opportunity for, you know, for marketing, and opportunities will come my way if I grow the audience. Only way to grow the audience is to keep working as hard as I can to give you guys winners, to give you guys good information. I've got faith that things will work out. So I never want to do anything that makes less people tune in. I appreciate your feedback. I want you guys to, you know, give me questions to probe and ask Tristan each week as we go into this segment, which is going to be called Behind Bookie Lines. Let's learn about everything from the bookie's perspective. You know what they say in the art of war, know your enemy. I've said all along, I want to bring a show that you're going to enjoy and gain insight and learn from, because the more understanding we have, the more informed decisions we can make. So here is my chat with the director of Top Sport, Tristan Merlihan. Straight into it. So I'm interested in your professional background. I understand Top Sport is a family business. So I'm just wondering, did you jump into it straight after high school? Have you ever worked anywhere else?
No, so Top Sport, even though we're probably new in the sense that a lot of people haven't heard about us just yet, we've been around for a long time. We've been around on the internet since 2005 with the website through many different iterations. We've just had a bit of a color change. We've got a new brand up there now. So I'm still wearing the old logo. We're still waiting for the new shirts to arrive, actually. But my dad was a bookie on course for probably 20 years before that. He started in 1986. So the brand, or the Merlihan bookmaking family, has been around for many, many years, or decades, actually. And then we gravitated from on course to website in around about 2005. So, I never worked anywhere else. I went straight from school to bookmaking with dad to uni, and then straight into launching Top Sport. And it's grown from strength to strength ever since. You know, people ask, do you ever bet as a bookmaker? Well, I don't really bet anymore, but you're basically betting on every game you put a market up for, because every game you got an interest. You know, I'm sitting here watching the NFL at the moment, and you know, we got a big swing one way or the other. So for me, that's bookmaking. The way we bookmake, we're an old style bookmaker where we put a bit of opinion into our prices, and you know, you back your opinion, and then you basically try to put the punters on the other side, and it's like having a punt in essence. So even though technically I don't have a bet right at the moment, I have a pretty keen interest in nearly every game that goes around.
I love the fact that you guys put an opinion into it. I want to actually touch on that more, because it creates more variance in the you know, the markets that the different bookies are offering. So that's better for punters as well, that you're willing to take a position, not just copy, you know, what everyone else is sitting at. But we'll get to that. So you said you transitioned to online betting. I presume that's kind of when all the big bookies did around 2005, like online betting became a big thing. And is that the same time where you guys started booking sports as well as racing?
Yeah, so probably the main reason why we jumped online was actually when I turned 18, I was the youngest bookie ever to get a license. So dad was still bookmaking on course, and he was at the Gold Coast, and then I got my license down at the Tweed. And we did that really to give him the avenue, because back in those days, you could only take a bet when you're on the racetrack. So he, being a Gold Coast bookmaker, he could only work on a Saturday. So I got the license down there so I could work Wednesday and Saturday. The issue with that was, when you were trying to bet on the footy, we were taking bets on it, but you could only bet on race day on Saturday. And we just used to get belted, because you'd get your prices when you left on Saturday morning. you know, someone might pull out. Joey Johns back in the day might have pulled out for the Saturday night game whilst you're busy with races, and you still have the same set of markets. So we realised we needed to move with the times. At that point, we got our licence and went online in 2005. And yeah, we offered then. We started a very small offering of sport. We mainly just started with AFL, NRL, Union, and we've sort of slowly grown it ever since to now. We have a very, very full offering, and we bet on everything much like our big competitors.
I always think, like, how many extra edges there must have been advantages for punters, like, back in the day, especially getting early information and stuff.
It goes a couple of ways. So, as you say, there's more information out there for everyone now. There's also a hell of a lot more markets too. So back in the day when we were starting to operate, it'd just be win and head-to-head and line, sorry, head-to-head line and totals, and maybe not even totals until game day. So whilst there was more availability for the pundits to get an edge, I feel that now there's so many markets where a lot of them are model-driven by a lot of the bigger operators, and they probably don't take into account some nuances and some things that the model may not be able to ascertain all the information correctly. So I feel now there's probably a bigger edge than ever for the punters, but it's also harder to get set as well. So it's just an ever-evolving beast, the gambling industry. And it's just a case of trying to keep yourself in front of the moving train and try to find those edges for the punters at all times. And when an edge gets closed down, you try to find a new one, because there's always going to be a new edge somewhere along the way, and you just got to try to make hay while the sun shines in that aspect.
Yeah, I've said that myself, because we've done this for 6 years sharing tips, and you have to adapt, and the things that used to work become common knowledge and then get priced into the market and then no longer, you know, represent the value that they used to. And you have to try and find new areas to find value. And look, at this point in time, speaking of finding value, I've kind of explained that we're partnering up with Top Sport. So I really appreciate that you're giving me the opportunity to continue the pod. And even if my neighbors change their Wi-Fi password, I can still afford to keep bringing this to people. But why don't you throw the sales pitch, basically, just the key points why you think every punter should join up with Top Sport?
Yeah, well, I've had a bit of a look over the group over the last couple of days since we've decided we wanted to join with you guys. We're very excited about that. And obviously, there's some pretty sharp stuff in there. There's some punters that are obviously get on some good runs and that have, tip out plenty of winners, and that's great to see. And one thing we're really, really proud of is we've never ever shut down an account. We have the sharps, in my mind, particularly on the racing, on the sport, we have the most aggressive prices, the sharpest prices, the highest limits compared to everyone out there in the industry. And whilst we don't have all the bells and whistles and all the Mickey Mouse promos, for me, if you want to be a serious punter, you want to make sure you're getting the best price at all times, the highest limit, and you're able to get set from the moment you want to have a bet. You don't need to wait till it's 10 minutes before the game starts to get your bet set. If there's a price up there, we'll take a bet off everyone. And that's something we're proud of. And if you're wanting to improve your betting, if you want to get a bigger margin out of it, you need to find a bookmaker that's not going to turn you off once you back a winner. We do have a few of those, like on the Rugby League, the AFL, the Union, we offer $2 lines come jump time. We're bringing out a number of products over the next little bit. But the biggest selling point for us is that if you want value over the entire life of your account, you're going to get that with us. And if you want to get the highest limits.
And I suppose either way, that's super appealing, especially the high limits, because you've got the reward system in place as well. So that's going to generate rewards points, the more people, I guess, turning over their bets and depositing, things like that. But look, I announced that in the group that you guys, you know, that is a claim that not many bookies make, that you don't close winning accounts. And there's been a lot of pushback, almost like disbelief. And I was skeptical myself when I heard that. And so the first thing that comes to my mind is, all right, you can say you don't close a winning account, but if you to pennies on the markets they want to bet on, the ones they're winning on, that's essentially the same thing. And I know that's happened to me on numerous bookies. I tell people I'm banned on all bookies, but some I may still have an account, but I can't get a bet down that I want. So I know there's minimum bet laws that would restrict you, but I don't think there's minimum sports laws. So I'm basically asking, how do you deal with your winning sports punters?
Yeah, and I agree with that summation. Like, it's no point saying you don't close anyone down and then you bet them to win $5. That's a joke. That's something we don't stand for. I'm very proud of the way we bookmake. You know, I think it stems back to the fact that we are an old-fashioned on-course bookie. And if you've got a price up, you bet it to everyone. And so as you touched on with the horse racing minimum bet limits, you have to bet everyone to win 1,000 on a provincial meeting, 2,000 on a metro meeting. But they only kick in from 9 o'clock. So I don't see any point having a market up on Wednesday at 7 p.m. for a Saturday race and not betting customers. Like, I can't see the point of having a market up there and not taking a bet. So we bet the minimums at least from the moment we release our prices. We have our own minimums for Group 1 races. We bet everyone to lose 5,000. Your sport events on your main tier ones, your rugby league and your AFL, we guarantee we bet everyone after the final teams have been announced to win 10,000. That's everyone. And every single market, we do have limits. I'm not going to sit here and say we bet everyone everything they want, because anyone that's ever said that, it can't be done. You know, the biggest bookies in the world, Pinnacle and Betfair, they can't say that. But what I will say is we have the fairest limits out there for every single customer. And they are based on the quality of the event, the time you have a bet. You know, so if you're betting on a rugby league game and you bet on a Wednesday, the limit isn't going to be as high as what it is on a Saturday on game day. But every market we have up on the site, we bet everyone to lose 500 at least. And I think that's a very fair thing. I don't think there's any other bookmaker out there that says they bet every single customer to lose at least 500 on any market. And as I said, on certain things, they get up to 10,000 for everyone. And that's something we're proud of, something we'll never change. We'll keep doing that. And I guess it just comes down to, we always bet the first customer to the price as well. So, you know, if there's a couple of customers coming at the same price, we always bet the first one, and then, you know, you can come and take the second price and all that sort of stuff as well. So in terms of managing the customers, we feel the winning customers sharpen our pricing. We use that information to tweak the odds, to make changes, so that then when it gets to jump time, we feel we've got the efficient market price possible. We'll take an opinion. As you said at the outset, we have an opinion, and that's formulated from our traders' opinion and also the sharp punters that are coming our way. So that's why throughout the course of the week, we're trying to find where a line should sit in an AFL and an NRL game. We'll use those smart bets that are coming in during the week to get to the true line, and that allows us to open our shoulders to everyone once all the information's on the table in terms of team lists, and then all the sharp money's been sort of bet early in the week. So I challenge anyone to give us a crack. You know, as I said, we're not going to take every single bet every single time, but there'll be no one out there that will not be treated fairer than any of our competitors.
And I'm very conscious of steering people towards a dodgy kind of garage bookie where all of a sudden, I don't know, bonus bets are disappearing, or people are getting Mickey Mouse limits, or struggling to get funds or anything like that, because I don't want the heat from that. So I feel really great about the fact that you guys are a bit bold in your mantra, and that means you're willing, you know, to have a bit, pretty much a fair fight. And I don't think everyone realizes the role that sharp punters do actually play, helping you, as you said, shaping your markets, because they've got to play the game of, do I get on early that I definitely believe is good value, but earlier in the week the limit is lower? Do I wait till later where you raise your limits, but somebody else might get that great line first? But they are, I've always thought, I used to do the bookies a favor when I'd bet on something and then they'd go and move the odds. It was the tip off that the odds were probably too high.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And as you say, like that's part of the trick of being a pro punter, knowing when to bet, knowing to time it. Is the market going to hold up? Do I wait? Do I, you know, is the liquidity going to be more? Because most of your sharp punters, you know, the key thing and the key pitch I'll say to everyone out there when you're having a bet is have an account with us, but have an account with Sportsbet, Ladbrokes. Oh, I'm not saying you do all your business with us, because if you're going to do this seriously, you need to find the best price possible, and you need to know, you know, pick your run. Okay, well, I think this is going to move. I feel there's going to be a truckload of money for this option. I need to go now, and I need to hit a couple of bookies now and secure that price. Or I think the market's actually going to be easy on this side. I think the punters are going to come the other way. I might actually get a higher price about this option come jump time, and then I know I'm going to get set for more. And as I said with us, like game day, hour out, you can get on to win 10,000. I don't think there's too many people in the marketplace a bit bigger than that. So you can get set for whatever you want on your big leagues. Your NFL, which is our biggest sport at the moment. Same thing. In the last hour, we bet everyone to lose 20,000. We bet $1.95 lines for those limits. We have our $2 promo lines up as well. So, you know, they're obviously very liquid markets. And as I said, these things change based on obviously your Russian handball. We're not going to bet anywhere near those sort of limits, but we feel we're fair in every sense of the market. We feel we're fair compared to our competitors, and that's all I feel, as you sort of touched on, being a fair fight. That's all we're after. If people do the right thing by us, we'll do the right thing by them. We don't switch promos off customers if they're doing the right thing. Doesn't matter how much you win, you'll still get your top up, you'll still get your $2 lines, you'll still get your reward points. You know, that's all we ask. You be fair to us, we'll be fair to you, and we don't mind if you beat us in a fair fight. That's fine. We'll regroup and see if we can bounce back the next week.
And that's what this is going to be like. We're going to have you on every week, and I want to pick your brain. And it's awesome to get more understanding of how you approach things. But it's going to be a little bit adversarial as well. I still represent the punters, and you represent the other side of the counter. And at the end of the day, punters need bookies. Bookies need punters as well. And it is competition. It's a weird relationship because we're both trying to cost the other one money. But we kind of need each other, and we also get enjoyment out of it, especially if we, you know, act the right way. Now, last thing I want to touch on, I want to actually pull back the curtain and get a bit more understanding. I think this will be very interesting for punters. Let's start with a basic question. Where do you get all your odds? And we'll just keep it to sports, but I imagine that your sports odds, if you want to specifically give an example of NFL, then are they provided from overseas and they're automated in the way that they're moving?
Yeah. It sort of depends sport by sport. Like, obviously, we don't have the luxury of having the team the size of your some of your bigger operators. We're growing all the time. We've got a great team. But we do need to automate some certain elements of it. And we do that particularly earlier in the week. Once we get to near game time, we trade a lot of things manually. Your NFL particularly is such a very liquid market where we don't need to be different to the market price because we know that market price is pretty accurate. So we'll run the key markets off that. Then we have our models in place where we price a number of the other markets off our model, which is derived from the key variables. And then I'd suggest that for our overseas sports, that's pretty much how we operate. For the sports we feel we have an edge in, where we feel we control the market of the Aussie sports, so your NRL, your AFL, and we'll obviously look at what the market's doing earlier in the week. We'll put a bit of opinion in, which comes from our traders, which comes from the weight of money in the marketplace. If it's Penrith against the Roosters and the line's 4.5 in the market and we have it rated at 7.5, we're not going to go up 7.5. We might go 5.5, leaning towards 6, or do whatever to try to push pundit or to try to attract money onto the side. Now, we're right as often as we are wrong. So as you said at the outset, that creates value for the pundits. Like, as a punter looking for value, you don't want everyone betting that same line, everyone betting that same price. You want a bit of variety. You want someone to take a risk. And, you know, some of the time we're going to be right. We hope more than we're wrong, but you're going to get it wrong a lot of the time as well. And that creates value. That creates engagement in the marketplace as well. And I think that's key. And the more bookies that we get that are willing to operate in that fashion, the better for the industry.
I totally agree. So if you were to say, look, every other bookie's got this line at 4.5, we think it should be 7.5, but we're not confident. We're better off being at 4.5 and then just move with the marketplace, and then we can't get it smashed. But then there's no competition for punters. Whereas if you say, look, we think this line should be a lot higher, so we don't want anybody laying that 4.5 with the favorite. We're giving them too much value. Let's make that line higher. Then we should, in theory, attract a lot more money on the underdog. And then that's risky for you. You're going to be in a position of more liability if that underdog gets up. I guess that means you were a bit wrong, but you are betting in the sense that you're as you say, you're shaping your odds to attract money on one side or the other. Because I think there's a myth that people think it's $1.90 for each line. You just take 50% action on each side and then guarantee a cut each game, when that's not the reality.
Oh, I can assure you, I haven't watched a game for 5 years where we've had an even set of money on both sides. You know, and to be fair, I wouldn't want that to happen. You know, I'm like a player, and you want to be watching the Origin, and you want to know that you're cheering for Queensland and New South Wales, and that's part of the enjoyment. We wouldn't do it if that was the case. And the reality is, if everyone's at 4.5, it doesn't mean 4.5's a true line either. You know, like, that's just someone having an opinion that that's what the 50% of the 50-50 probability is, but the reality it isn't. And where the benefit of us taking an opinion on these bigger markets compared to the marketplace is that if punters still like that 4.5, there's still many operators they can get set at. If they like the 5.5 at the higher price, then they're going to get a better value. So the more of those options, the more volatility in the marketplace, the better for punters. And that's what we're trying to do. And we're trying to sort of back our opinion. We're trying to back the sharp money that's coming in so that we can be the first to a price to sort of try to attract that market, like you're sort of saying. But yeah, we got to put our necks on the chopping board, because you do get it wrong regularly as well. And it's the same as any of your bet. You're not going to win every bet. You're not going to lose every bet. You've just got to be confident in your strategy. Punters have got to be confident in their strategy. That's sort of my recommendation to any punter out there, is just, if you've got something or a plan, stick to it. If you back a couple of losers, don't go and, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater. Come up with a plan. And that's what we do. And if you need to reevaluate it after 6 months, then go and do it. But you can't do that in a hot-headed moment. you need to do that when it, you know, the cool light of day, and just try to be sensible in what you're doing.
That's right. You don't want to go on one of those slippery slopes where you start betting on things that you wouldn't have if you weren't emotional. We try and be quite like analytical. And the point you made there is everyone is trying to kind of do the same thing, whether you're a bookie or whether you're a punter. You're trying to roughly figure out where that 50-50 line should be. And that's how you derive value. And from our point of view, we have to bet roughly $11 to win 10 every time. But our advantage is we can pick and choose, and we can only bet the games where we like it, where we think we have an advantage, where you're getting people risking 11 to win 10, but you have to take them on every game. So that's the balancing act. But as you said, you're still trying to figure out where that 50-50 point is, and so are we. And the results play out, and I guess whoever was right is going to come out on top. Look, mate, that's just a great topic that I hope people got an awesome amount of insight into, but that's what I'm looking forward to every week. I want to probe and get kind of insights from the other side of the counter. I want to pick your brain with my questions and listener questions as well, and gain knowledge behind bookie lines. So thank you very much again for the support for this season of Wide World of Punting, and thanks for your time today.
No worries. Thanks for having us, and looking forward to the rest of the season.
So there you go, guys. Some food for thought with Top Sport. Certainly some very appealing features there. If you do want to join and support the pod and have an extra bookie in your arsenal, there is a link in the description of this video audio, and the promo code is TRIPOD. But I just hope that you enjoyed the chat. And moving forward, I will have Tristan on every week, but it's going to be a shorter segment, and we always call it Behind Bookie Lines. And we'll try and get insight into the operations. We'll find out what the market's doing. Tristan's got lots of stories to share as well. And I really want to make it something that's very valuable to you guys to listen to each week and be a cool part of the show. Okay, Wide World Bet of the Week to round out the pod. And I said we failed last week with the Wallabies. -4.5 against Argentina, thinking they might be let down a little bit after their historic 25-15 upsetting of the All Blacks the week before. Credit to the Pumas. They hung tough, and I think they did well to scrape a draw out of that game. Australia came very close to a couple of tries, wasn't to be. But these guys are playing with a hell of a amount of spirit. But that draw reopens the door for the All Blacks to win the Tri Nations now. Australia's missed their opportunity because Australia beat the All Blacks in the game that qualified for the Tri Nations a couple weeks ago. So we have New Zealand on a 2-game losing streak, their final game of the Tri Nations. If they beat Argentina and get a bonus point because of their points differential, they're going to win the Tri Nations, and that will save a bit of face. Like, this team is not meant to lose 2 games in a row, certainly not meant to lose, you know, for the first time to one of the emerging nations. No disrespect to Argentina. And as you heard from the scope, that makes me even more confident in this pick. I think they're going to come out and play absolutely furious and take it out on Argentina, who's had 2 very physical games in a row. Well, don't forget, New Zealand has been idle, so they could rest the bodies up after 5 straight weeks. I think they're going to come out and do a number on the Pumas. So the line is -17.5, and I probably would lay that, but I've found what I think is even better value. Let's take the All Blacks to win both halves by 7 or more. So if you look at the line, I mean, they're over a 7-point favorite. They're probably like a -8.5-point favorite in each half. And 7 points in rugby is just a converted try. So that's a very key number. So we just need them to win the first half by 7 or more. And then I could see them building up a head of steam and then carrying on with it and really taking out their frustrations on Argentina and win the second half by 7 or more as well. And that's going to pay $3.50 on Top Sport. You can put up to $100 on that, and you'll find that under their rugby market. So that's a market that they're framed for me, for Tripod listeners. And I know some of you guys are saying not rugby again, but it's a primetime game Saturday night, something to give us a bit of interest. And we get to bet on a world sporting superpower in the All Blacks. Plus, shout out to the Kiwi listeners as well, who support every week. So get on that if you think it's good value, guys. That could be a great way to kick off with your Top Sport account. And that'll do it, boys. So thanks for tuning in to another episode of Wide World of Punting. I'm back every Saturday noon with the NFL picks, and that's just a 15-minute pod just sharing insights on NFL. Went 4-3 last week. We're still 59% for the NFL season, but this pod will remain weekly at this time, Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Daylight Savings Time, bringing in different guests, different topics, and I welcome your feedback, your interaction. So let me know what you thought of the episode, any comments, thoughts you have. Moving forward, thank you guys. Lego.